I'd like to welcome everyone back this evening. For my lesson this afternoon, I've selected the title, Preach the Word, and our text comes from 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through verse 8. There the Bible says, Preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, one of the things that we have learned from this pandemic is that there are essential workers and there are non-essential workers. There was a post by Brother Brett Hickey on Facebook, Let the Bible Speak, that asked the following questions. Are you an essential worker? Are your labors for the kingdom of God essential for the maximum potential in spreading the gospel? Is there work only you can do? Are there people only you can reach? These verses follow. 1 John 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have a footnote in my Bible that says, we must have a good estimation of ourselves. Lay my life alongside the scriptures. How do I measure up? The Apostle Paul says in the text, in verse 7 and verse 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I must tell you that after studying for this lesson, there are some things I need to work on, or I may miss the mark. The Lord has a way of calling our attention to our shortcomings and our weaknesses. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, from day to day, we come in contact with a lot of people. I meet and I talk to people that you will never meet and may never talk to. And the same goes for you. You meet and you talk to people that I may never meet and talk to. So we have a responsibility in preaching God's Word, and certainly that begins with the life, the example of our life that we live from day to day. For some people, this may be the closest and the only thing they see concerning God's righteousness and His Word and what God stands for. In 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1, there the Apostle tells Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, in this final letter to Timothy, gives Timothy a final charge to fulfill his ministry. He charges him as he will give an account for it in that great day, reminding him of the judgment to come, which is committed to the Lord Jesus. We are all responsible indirectly for fulfilling the obligation concerning the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, there it says, And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Paul tells Timothy there in verse 2, he says, Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Above everything else, Timothy was to preach the pure and simple word of God. Paul's emphasis on the word of God in this letter to Timothy has been endless. This constant emphasis makes Paul's point very clear to Timothy. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. A servant of the Lord must be able to teach. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. We learn from the text Timothy was not required to merely know the word or like the word or approve of the word. He was required to preach the word. Paul's message to Timothy was that the word of God must be preached. Timothy only had to preach two seasons, in season and out of season. So, he must be ready at all times. He should preach it when it was easy. He should preach it when it is hard. He should preach it when the fruit is evident. And he should preach it when the fruit is invisible. The lesson for us is just preach the word. Paul tells Timothy to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. In his preaching, Timothy was to bring the word of God to bear on the lives of the people. He was not to treat the word as if it were filled with interesting ideas or fascinating theories. He was to hold up the word of God, lay it alongside the lives of the people, and let God do the work. We plant the seed, and God gives the increase. There is a need for true preaching of the word. Today, in the religious world, there is so much confusion concerning the word of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, there the Apostle Paul says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Timothy needed to be focused, and he needed to be ready to preach God's word. Sound teaching is important for spiritual maturity, but will not always be tolerated. There will be those who will seek out teachers to tell them what they want to hear and what makes them feel good, and will turn away their ears from the truth. Adam Clark said concerning itching ears, endless curiosity an insatiable desire of variety, and they get their ears tickled with the language and accent of the person, abandoning the good and faithful preacher for the fine speaker. There is only one gospel. Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 6, 1, verse 6 and 7, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So here Paul warns that errors and heresies will creep into the church, by which the minds of many professing Christians would be corrupted. Once people have the Word of God, when a man rejects God's truth, it isn't that he believes in nothing, but that he will believe anything. To believe that the universe came about by chance is to believe a fable. This description of evolution of the universe in a Los Angeles Times article, it was titled The Big Bang and What Followed It. This is an example of one of these fables. Listen to this. In the beginning, there was light, but also quarks and electrons. The Big Bang spewed out energy that condensed into radiation and particles. The quarks joined into protons and careened wildly about in a hot, dense, glowing goop as obscure as a star. Time, 300,000 years ago or so, passed. Space expanded. Matter cooled. The electrons and protons electrically, irresistibly to each other, merged into neutral hydrogen, and from this marriage, the first atoms were born. Space between atoms became as transparent as crystal, pretty much the way it looks today. The rest, as they say, is history. Atoms merged to form dust clouds, which grew into stars and galaxies and clusters. Stars used up their nuclear fuel, collapsed, and exploded in reoccurring cycles, fusing elements in the process. Occasionally, a stable planet condensed around a second-generation star where carbon-based life forms grew into, among other things, cosmologists, the better to contemplate it all. Amazing to me, we're teaching our kids this in school. Ain't no common sense at all. It is possible for many so-called churchgoers to turn aside from the truth and believe in fables. The belief that all you have to do is ask Christ to come into your heart to obtain salvation, it is a fable. The belief of once saved, always saved, it is a fable. The doctrines of men, innovations, the adding to and the taking away from God's word, they are all fables. In verse 5, Paul restates the testimony to Timothy again. There he says, but you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We're not all evangelists, but again, we are all responsible for folks that only we may reach. The instructions for Timothy are instructions that we should take notice of. We must watch in all things, careful not to let an opportunity slip through by negligence. We must watch against the temptations of Satan, by which we may be distracted or lose focus. We must count on hardships, and we must endure them. We must make the best of them, and we must not get discouraged. There may be many reasons why someone is unable to fulfill his or her responsibility in carrying the good news to others. It may be fear. It could be unbelief. It may be the cares of this world, the fear of man, maybe criticism or discouragement, or maybe surrounding sin. There are hardships that we must overcome. In verse 6 and verse 7, Paul portrays his death as a sacrifice poured out before God. He says there, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." A drink offering brought wine before the Lord, and it poured it out at his altar. It was a way to give wine to God as a sacrifice, just as animals may have been given as a sacrifice. The idea of the drink offering is first presented in Genesis 35 and verse 14, where Jacob poured out a drink offering before the Lord as a sacrifice. Under the law of Moses, drink offerings could be a part of sacrifice to the Lord, according to Exodus 29, verse 40 and 41, and Leviticus 23, and verse 13. Adam Clark said, "So Paul was already being poured out. His head was not on the executioner's block yet, but his heart was already there. He was ready to make the ultimate sacrifice. He considers himself as on the eve of being sacrificed, and he looks upon his blood as the drink which was poured on the sacrificial offering." He could not have spoken thus positively had not the sentence of death already been passed upon him. Paul's exhortation to Timothy is therefore even more meaningful because he knew he was passing from the scene and Timothy must carry the torch. God's workmen pass on, but God's work must continue. Paul knew there was a crown waiting for him in heaven, and he was ready to receive it. He was certain of it. He says in verse 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Matthew Henry says of this crown of righteousness, "It is the character of all saints that they love the appearing of Jesus Christ. They love his first appearing when he appeared to take away sin by sacrifice of himself." Hebrews 9 and verse 26. "They love to think of it. They love his second appearing at the great day. Love it and long for it. With respect to those who love the appearing of Jesus Christ, he shall appear to their joy. There is a crown of righteousness reserved for them, which shall be given them," according to Hebrews 9 and verse 28. And from this we learn, Matthew Henry says, "The Lord is a righteous judge, for his judgment is according to truth. The crown of believers is a crown of righteousness purchased by the righteousness of Christ and bestowed as a reward of the saints' righteousness. The crown which believers shall wear is laid up for them. They have it not at present, but here they are but heirs. They have it not in possession, and yet it is sure, for it is laid up for them. The righteous judge will give it to all who love, who prepare, and long for his appearing." In closing, the truthfulness of the words by the Apostle Paul can easily be seen today. People will reject the Word of God, but will believe in witchcraft and UFOs and other things. People will reject the gospel of Christ but accept religious traditions of men. People reject sound doctrine but accept unhealthy teaching that endangers their body and their soul. The problem is the type of preaching people want to listen to. They listen to be entertained, to justify fulfilling the lust of the flesh. They do not listen to be saved or to learn the way of righteousness. Those who dare to preach and those who desire to hear should make sure the preaching is what pleases God. If there's one that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come at this time as we stand and sing.